Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, your passport just got political. Will it matter? And the reality is, we are loving our national parks to death. Why are the parks so crowded this summer? Those stories and more next in the travel news.
Last week, a tourist was gored by a bison in Yellowstone National Park. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we'll tell you what the victim said about the situation and our wisdom for keeping yourself out of trouble when it comes to visiting wildlife in their homes.
Chris Elliott is with us today at 11:35, all the way from Tokyo. We'll talk a little about Japan and why so many are heading there. Our main topic is cruise lines and whether or not there should be a cruise passenger's bill of rights.
Odds and ends topic at 11:55, including frivolous lawsuits, new trains on the West Coast, and an international celebration at the Sacramento Airport.
Thank you for the pleasure of your company, live or on the podcast, here to make you a smarter traveler next time you hit the road. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Solo, Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, live and in living radio, following the card show. It's Mark and Tom and the Travel and Entertainment Guys here. Thanks for joining us. Hope you had a good week. It got kind of warm there for a little bit, but it's kind of settled down. And State Fair got underway yesterday, so all is well. Mark, good to see you. This is great ice cream weather, don't you think?
Kind of warm. But you know, that is the state fair always ushers in the hottest part of the summer. I mean, as you look back over the 50 years it's been at Cal Expo, it's always been, hey, yeah, ice cream. I am known when I go out and lead folks around the country. Mark is known for finding ice cream spots or frozen yogurt or gelato or some kind of frozen treat and taking his group somewhere along the way on tour to do that. And in fact, we're going to Puget Sound tomorrow. God, what a great time to go to Puget Sound. We're going to Puget Sound. How lucky can you be to have a job that takes you every summer for 5 days to Puget Sound? But there's a great frozen yogurt stop on Bainbridge Island, and we will be there tomorrow afternoon. Anyway, I saw this this weekend on Facebook, and it was a Loomis community post, and it said, just wanted to remind everybody about the ice cream shop inside Ace Hardware. There is a Gunther's ice cream counter inside the Ace Hardware up there. I did not know this.
Me
How
neither.
Did this get
Who
past
would?
Me?
Yes.
I mean, I'm the ice cream guy. I'm supposed to know these things. Not that I take a lot of tour groups on road trips to Loomis, but, you know, hey, road trips can be as far or as close to home as you want them to be. So the next time, you know, you need nuts and bolts, why, or you just need ice cream, you can tell, you know, the wife that you need nuts and bolts or the husband that you need nuts and bolts, and then you can go to Ace Hardware and get yourself ice cream at Gunther's, which, of course, if you just moved in from across the country, Gunther's is a name that has meant serious ice cream around Sacramento for a long time. Not the only name, but, you know, there are others, Leatherby's and the like, but Gunther's has always been kind of the local homegrown ice cream. So Ace Hardware, I'm going.
How
I'm
about
telling
that?
You I'm going.
Yeah, look that one up. Okay. I know you can get popcorn at the, it's an Ace Hardware, but it's known as Amy Hardware with an E.
Yes.
Over there off of Watt and El Camino. And you can when you walk in the door, you can smell it.
Amy Hardware has been here for a long time, kind of like Anderson Brothers Pharmacy in Town and Country Village. Amy Hardware is, they've been here as long as I can remember, that's for sure.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, here's Mark.
Yes, 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 the travel news for today. Disney World at rush hour. We mentioned that that national parks in the headlines are feeling the strain, and one person described last week They were in Yosemite, and they said, this feels like Disney World at the busiest part of the week or the day or the whatever. I mean, it said just wall-to-wall people. You can't get into a restaurant. You can't get into a gift shop. There's no place to park. It would be fine if this visitor was quoted as saying, it would be fine if all of these people who came here had some concept of what a national park is and why they're important and why it's important to preserve them. But he said, just look around the parking lot. You can see by the trash and stuff that people are not, a lot of the people who come are not following or not adhering to good visitor practices for national parks. So the parks are very crowded, very, very, very crowded. And we mentioned here a week or two ago about Yosemite doing away with their reservation system, which has really made it first come, first serve, which is just, and they have more people coming. So it's just a disaster. If you're going to go to Yosemite, go during the week. Get there as early in the day as you can. It's a long drive. You might consider staying someplace close to the park. Staying in the park is going to be difficult. There is only very limited accommodations there, and they are spoken for long in advance, and they're expensive. So they do a historic thing called the Bracebridge Dinner every winter at Yosemite. I'll have to explain what this is when I have more time sometime. But we got the quote back. We wanted to take some sports leisure travelers to it, and we got the quote for the dinner back. This is not has nothing to do with the hotel now. The rooms at the Awani during the Bracebridge Dinner in December are $700 a night. The dinner itself is $600 plus.
Wow.
$600.
Well, this sounds like something that people that are well-heeled, as they might put it, would go and do basically
think?
As a charitable event.
Yes.
You know. Other people just showing up.
Next time a sports leisure traveler asks me, you know, hey, let's go to the Bracebridge Dinner at Yosemite, I'll say, well, we can't afford to. Do you have here? Fill out this credit application, and we'll we'll fix you up. Hey, Frontier Airlines has introduced the Starlink Wi-Fi onto their planes. That's the big deal now. All of the airlines are doing it. The question becomes, rest of the airlines are making it free. Or at least free if you belong to their frequent flyer club, which is easy enough to do. We'll start. Frontier Airlines is what they call an ultra low cost carrier. What that means is pay very little up front, and then get your wallet out the rest of the way. And so the question becomes: will Frontier charge for Starlink on the plane, or will it be free? They're going to roll it out early next year, so I guess we'll find out. When they roll it out, or somewhere along the way. Frontier serves Sacramento. So if I can find out anything to help with that, I will. Tom, surely you heard the story about, or saw the story, about the man who nearly got pulled out of the airplane when the window popped out?
Oh, yeah. Saved by, obviously, a wife that loves him.
He was flying. They were flying from Greece to Germany, and they were... literally, the window blew out, and her husband, many physicists will tell you this isn't possible for this to happen, but I will tell you now, having seen some video of the guy being hauled back in the window, it definitely is possible for it to happen. He survived. He had some, fortunately, they were at a lower altitude when it happened, so it wasn't as cold outside as it could have been, but his wife held him by his legs for 5 minutes. He was belted into his seat, and they say the fact that his wife was able to hang on was what saved his life. And she said, the reason I was able to hang on was because the belt helped keep him in place. So for those of you who are conspiracy theorists and believe that anything can happen anytime, and that you could get sucked out of the window of the airplane, that's a reason to keep your seatbelt on right there.
There you go. And it doesn't just happen in James Bond movies.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it happens to regular people.
That would just like be the most horrible thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, and then having to be hanging halfway out the plane, not for 30 seconds, not for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But for up to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you know what altitude they might have been? You say it was at a
lower
altitude.
They were about 12,000 feet when it happened.
Well,
so it was about 0 degrees outside. But had they been at like 25,000 feet, it would have been minus 60 or 70, the guy, he'd have frozen to death in 5 minutes. Yeah. So as he points out, Actually, I was pretty lucky. The other thing I will point out is that never argue with your wife before you get on the airplane. Because at some point in time, she might have the opportunity to say, well, you know, hell, this is kind of difficult, and he's going to go in, so I'll just, you know. So remember to tell your wife you love her right before the window pops out. That's all I'm just telling you. All right, let's see here. This is kind of bizarre. A United Airlines employee, this is in San Francisco, by the way, a customer service agent at the counter. There's a video on Reddit about it. An employee and a customer got into a confrontation, whereas the customer service agent threatened to call ICE on the customer, claiming, this is on tape, he doesn't, quote, act like a citizen. He doesn't act like a citizen.
Yeah, there you go. Sure. You can spot him all the time.
According to reporting from View from the Wing. And as Ben Schlopik at 1 Mile at a Time points out, regardless of how either person was acting during this disagreement, it's completely unacceptable behavior, and this employee needs to be held accountable. If you see the video, I didn't post it online because there's a lot of this stuff now, but I'm going to call ICE on you. And, of course, then the customer said, okay, I'll stand right here. Go ahead. And then somebody else said, well, we'll call the police, and he said, go right ahead. I haven't done anything wrong. You call whoever you want to. I'll stay right here and wait for him. Power trip. Power trip. We've all run into these folks in the airport, airline employees who think like they own the airline. And the best thing to do, really, truly, if you can, is just back off. I mean, it's you're not going to prove anything. They hold all the hammers. They can keep you from getting on the airplane. They might not be justified by it, but they can do just about anything that they want, at least on a temporary basis. And really and truly, they're not battles that are worth fighting. Just give up. Do whatever it is that they tell you to do, and you can send a letter to the airline later on, and maybe you'll get some miles or, you know, a refund or something like that. Here's another. United is really in the news this week. Here's the second of three United stories. United is secretly allowing free flight changes for the new President Trump Airport. West Palm Beach changed their name to the President Donald J. Trump International Airport, DJT. And so, of course, many people have very strong opinions about this president. And some people are like, I'm not flying into an airport named after. I mean, there's a long list of quotes and stuff here. I'm not flying into it. So apparently, United is allowing people, they didn't publicize this. And when they were asked about it, they said, we tell our reservations airport, if a customer does not want to fly into the airport, use your empowerment to offer acceptable alternatives such as Fort Lauderdale or Miami, which are 50 and 70 miles away accordingly. But anyway, apparently United is allowing non-fans of the president to change their travel plans without charge. But of course, they're not telling you this because they don't want everybody to show up and do that. And the final United Airlines story is that this week is they're going to do something which is done in Europe commonly. In Europe, they create business class by blocking the middle seat in a row of three, which, frankly, I'm just absolutely fine with. You just give me that extra space, and I'm perfectly willing to pay you a premium for that. United has some new jets coming that have 152 seats in them. You have to have, according to law, one flight attendant for every 50 passengers on board. So that 152 creates a problem, because if you have 150 passengers, you only have to have three flight attendants. If you have 152 passengers, you have to have four flight attendants.
Hmm.
So United is going to block two of the seats on that aircraft, two of the middle seats, and create a European-style business class for one row of seats, four seats instead of six, and you'll pay a premium for it. We don't know where on the plane or all of that jazz. Also, this is only going to, these are long-haul planes. So unless you're going on a transcon from L.A. to Newark, or you're going across a pond, then you're never going to see this. But and it's only one row. If it works, they'll do it more. Anyway, the reason they're doing it is to eliminate one flight attendant and be able to save a little bit of money. Speaking of the president, as we were just a moment ago, the Gordie Howe Bridge, which links Detroit to Windsor, Ontario, will finally open on July the 27th. It's a mile and a half span over the Detroit River, cost about $4.5 billion U.S., was paid for by Canada. The opening has been delayed due to one of the President Trump's occasional objections to U.S.-Canada trade relations and his astonishment that Canada isn't particularly interested in becoming the 51st state. Also, it should be pointed out that a friend of the president owns one of the bridges right now that people pay to cross from Detroit into Windsor and back. So I can't tell you that this is the reason that this new bridge has been delayed in opening, but those are the facts. Anyway, the Gordie Howe Bridge, named after a very famous Canadian hockey player. He is like God in Canada. So this very famous, this bridge between Detroit and Windsor, which is going to cut travel times for a lot of people and make it a lot faster and much better for traffic, et cetera, is finally going to open. Your passport just got political. Speaking of the president, his picture is going to appear in all passports that are issued now. And the question that Chris Elliott proposes, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that going to be not even noticed by people in other countries? Or are they going to look at that? And is that going to impact somehow your visitors' experience, positively or negatively, in that country? Interesting question, Chris. And finally, I remind you, last of all, that on August the 15th, the American River Conservatory has a concert for cause. It welcomes a group called Red Dirt Ruckus, American River Conservatory. They're up towards Placerville. You can go online and find out more information, and that's your travel news for today.
And we are Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys. If you were watching the news, maybe you saw what the bison had to say, or did, when he tossed the guy in the air. Well, let's find out what the guy himself had to say after the fact. That's coming up next, right here with the Travel Guys. Welcome back, my friends. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget now, links to our special guests and so much more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Chris Elliott coming up in the back half of the show. And we've got a lot of stuff to cover with Chris. He's in Tokyo. All right, Mark, let's see here. You had an update on the story that we had some time ago. It was having to do with, when you book your flight, you say, I want a window seat.
Uh-huh.
And we discovered that sometimes a window seat indicates that there's going to be one, but when you sit down in that seat, and I think everybody's seen this, there are certain situations where there isn't a window seat. So
has it to do with the structure of the aircraft? And on many planes there are a couple of spots where the window seat has no window, so you would have thought that the airlines, in selling, because they sell upgraded seats to people, and these windowless window seats are in the part of the plane where it's generally economy plus or at least preferred. There's a charge to sit there. And you would have thought that it would be easy enough on the seating chart to just to say, this is a seat in the position of a window seat, but there's no window here. So if you buy this seat, you still get to sit, two from the aisle. But if you were hoping to get a window, then this is not the spot for you. I mean, to me, that seems so simple.
Sure. You get a wall seat.
Yeah, or don't charge extra for that particular seat. Make it a standard seat or whatever. Anyway, the airlines didn't do that. Delta and United in particular. A passenger sued United. The case came before the federal judge in San Francisco this week, and he denied the airline's motion to dismiss the case. And there's a similar suit against Delta Airlines pending in a Brooklyn court. Plaintiffs said they paid specifically to book a window seat when they boarded their flights. They were sitting next to a blank wall, not a window. In requesting dismissal of the case, this is a hoot, United told the court that in the airline industry, the term window seat doesn't mean a seat next to a window. It means a seat next to the wall of the fuselage, which may or may not have a window in it. This is in quotes. This is not from the airline. The same logic apparently doesn't apply to aisle seats, which are always next to the aisle. The passengers said they were never notified during the booking and seat selection process that their window seat didn't have a window. The judge in San Francisco rejected United's argument that the Airline Deregulation Act didn't allow for this type of lawsuit. So he allowed it to go forward. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. This isn't going to go on very much longer. The airline's going to settle with these people. And they're going to say, all right, if you have a record of, you know, it's in your customer record, whatever, that you bought this seat sometime in the last whatever number of years, then we will send you a voucher worth $100 or something like that. And for the people who brought the suit, they're going to get probably $1,000 or something like that. This isn't going to go too much farther because now the airline ran into a judge who says, you guys are full of hooey, and which, of course, they are. They sold people a window seat that didn't have a window. So there is no defense for this.
No.
And if you go online, this is what tells you there was no defense for this. If you go online now, you will find that they will tell you that it is, there is no window at that window seat. So anyway, I just thought that was fun to update because it is an example of how ridiculous some businesses, particularly airlines, can be. There is no damn window. And you sold the people a seat with a window. So give them a refund. You know, I mean, give them the price of what they paid for a window seat and 10,000 miles and give it to everybody who ever did that and they'll go away happy. Now you've spent a lot of money on legal representation and you're going to keep having to do it until you settle with these people. And plus you get your nose drug through the mud by people like us every time it comes up. So stupid. All right. So you all have you all seen the video by now of the guy getting thrown in the air at Yellowstone National Park?
Pretty hard to miss. It's been very, very popular.
It is.
And if you hadn't, you go to travelguysradio.com. I'm sure we have a link.
We do. If you haven't seen it yet, it is posted on our website. Basically, this is a grandfather, and there was a second person in the video at the beginning of the video. They didn't identify, in the news stories I'm seeing, who it was.
He was there with his grandson. This is an annual trip that they take.
All right. So they were, if you look in the video, you can watch the video, and you can see in many cases people in these parks get right up next to the wildlife despite what they've been told. These people were, I'm guessing from the way it looks, a couple hundred feet away at least.
They indicated about 100 yards, which would be 300 feet.
That's a football field. You would think, right, that was far enough. You would think.
Yep.
But it wasn't. And the bison decided that he wasn't thrilled that these people were there, and he took off after them. And they avoided the bison to start with, and then they were kind of playing ring around the Rosie for a while, and then the bison figured out where they were and came after him. Before the man could get to his vehicle, the bison gored him and flipped him into the air, and he broke his leg in four places. But this is from the gentleman who got gored. He said... He thanked all the people. He said, you know, they were amazing. He said, while he was on the ground, unable to move, the bison was right on top of him. He said, he could have stomped me, could have gored me, could have done almost anything to take my life, but he didn't do so. So, you know, you want to take this one step further. The bison says, all right, look, this is your warning. Do not come back here ever again. I'm not going to kill you this time. This is just a warning to you and all the other people, all the millions of people who are going to watch this. Next time you come to my house, these are the rules. You know? And the bison had every opportunity and obviously wasn't happy with him and his grandson being there. And there were other cars in the video, you can see. So anyway, they got him to Bozeman, 2-hour ambulance ride to Bozeman. Ouch. He said he was in a lot of pain. But he was able to stand the next day, broke his femur in four places. Good Lord.
That's the big bone, my friends.
So the bottom line, smarter traveler takeaway from all of this is when you go to the wildlife's home, be respectable of the wildlife. Because these people were.
Yes, they were. And bottom line, even if you're being respectful, I don't know, man. You just got to give them all the space you possibly can. And be prepared to climb a tree.
Well, and this guy was racing back to get back to his vehicle, or I guess any vehicle. I don't know that it was necessarily his vehicle, but any vehicle. And he I mean, you watch it, all of those who have seen it. I mean, the bison flipped him in the air like he was nothing. Flipped him, what, 20, 30 feet in the air, probably at least? The guy's lucky he's alive to talk about it. And they were a long ways away. So anyway, the point of all of this and making it the Smarter Traveler segment is every time you go into a national park or any place where there's wildlife, there are always all these signs that say, you know, stay away and don't feed them and don't try to pet them and all this kind of stuff, because these are wildlife. And this gentleman and his grandson were pretty much playing by the rules, and he got nailed anyway. So especially if you're going to someplace like Yellowstone, where that bison, look at the way, how much bigger he is than that person when he flips the guy in the air. I mean, it's like the guy was, you know, the trash can or something. So when you go to places where there are wildlife, you have got to respect the fact that you are in their home. And obviously, for whatever reason, this bison decided that he didn't like the fact that these people were there. I don't know. Maybe he was having a bad bison day, or he's just a deranged bison. I don't know. But there's no way for you to know that. So when you go to the parks, take your pictures, use your phone to take shots from as far away as you can, or maybe have a plan B. You know, when you get out of the vehicle and you're like, all right, I'm this far from the vehicle, and that bison moved fast.
They can they're very quick. They can they can run like, I don't know, 35 miles an hour.
Exactly. So just, you know, the lesson to all of this is look at the video and say, wow, gosh, that could have been just about anybody. And make sure that it's not you. And that's your Smarter Traveler segment for today.
All right. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We've got Chris Elliott to join us coming up right after Mark brings us up to date on sports, leisure, vacations, activities. So stick around. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for coming along.
We're going places with that sports, leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
One of the things we don't talk about the places that sports, leisure, vacations go on this program often, is the fact that we do day trips all over the Sacramento Valley. Theater shows in San Francisco and in Modesto at the Gallo Center and all over the valley. Some of them are sightseeing tours, for example, of entertainment. In Modesto, coming up in a couple of months, is Adina Menzel. I think I pronounced that correctly. She is a huge Broadway star, and she will be appearing there. In fact, I cannot believe that my folks even got tickets to see this. Anyway, if you would like to see her perform in person, you can give Sports Leisure Vacations a call. If you're a traveler who has never been with our company before and you'd like to see what we do, a day trip is a perfect way to do it. Or if you're an older, mature traveler and day trips are pretty much the limit of what you can handle at this point in your travel career, then we are here for you. Give us a call at Sports Leisure Vacations at 916-361-2051, or check us out at sportsleisure.com under the heading Day Trips on the website. And maybe we'll see you on the road sometime soon.
Welcome, everyone. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Christopher Elliott, consumer advocate, friend of the Travel Guys, all the way from Tokyo, my friend.
Hello. Konnichiwa.
Well, you pick up the language pretty quickly. How long have you been in Tokyo?
Only a week. No, I'm not. I only know like four words in Japanese, but it's enough to get around.
I see. Are your two sons still with you, or did you have to barter them at the border?
No, I have not sold them yet. They're still with me, and we're really enjoying. We're in a place called Koto City, which is an old warehouse district and kind of residential too. And there are lots of coffee shops, so we've been highly caffeinated.
I want to just take this opportunity here at the beginning, Chris, to Chris has a website. He's a consumer advocate. You can whether or not you pay him to belong to subscribe to his website. If you have a consumer problem, you can go to Elliott.org and they will help you. Even if you're not a paying customer, they will help you. But Chris has been traveling overseas with around the planet with his two sons, and what an incredible experience that must be. They one or both of them went to school, went to college while you guys were traveling the planet?
Yeah, they hit college during the pandemic. So they, you know, everyone was doing their school online. So for us, it was really easy. And we just kept going, kept traveling. And we have circled the globe 4 times now.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. And you guys do a podcast. Is it every week or every couple of weeks or pretty frequently?
Yeah, it's it used to be weekly. We've been doing it, you know, just as needed. So it's been maybe every once every 5 weeks or so. It's the URL for that is Elliott Show. So it's just 2 L's and 2 T's and then show.com. And it's a video podcast. So you could get to see our beautiful faces.
Yeah, they are so much fun. Your boys are wonderful. They each clearly have their own personality and seem to enjoy traveling with Dad. I really enjoy your podcasts. I look forward to them. They're very entertaining and on occasionally educational.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Well, they have a personality. You guys are family. You're all guys, so they have a personality to them that most podcasts don't have, and they're not terribly long, so they're easy to sit down and listen to. And it's pretty obvious after not very long of listening that this is two guys traveling with their father, and each of the guys has a really different personality. And so anyway, it works really well. I just wanted to throw that in at the top here. If you are so inclined, Elliott.org, you can, there is a subscription part of the website, but you are also welcome to peruse and look around and stuff like that. And if you ever have a consumer problem that is, even if it isn't connected to travel and you're like, who can help me with this? I've just run into all these dead ends every once in a while. Chris and his gang pull people out of a rabbit hole pretty regularly and get their problems solved when they thought that they couldn't be solved. So keep that in the back of your brain. Anyway, Tokyo. Tell us just a little bit about Tokyo.
Well, you know, Tokyo is one of our favorite destinations, and we've been here a couple of times. We normally go during kind of off season. Like last year, we were here in March and early April for the sakura, for the cherry blossoms. And we hit that. That was really interesting. And, you know, if you want to see these normally very reserved Tokyo residents going absolutely bonkers, this is a good opportunity, because when they see the blossoms come out, they run out. They start taking pictures. They're laughing. And then they go back to being normal kind of city slicker Tokyoites, I guess you call them. And it's really funny to watch that. So, you know, we're here during the summer now. And now everyone is here. Everyone is here. The whole city is overrun. Which is why we went to Kodo City, which is, you know, across the river. It is not where the tourists go. And it's actually really nice. You know, it's the streets are a little bit wider because it's an old kind of warehouse area. And people are very friendly, very polite, of course. And they have a nice modern art museum out here, too, and very good shopping. Plus, and I wanted to say this before I forget it, the yen is at a 40-year low against the U.S. dollar. So that means the whole place is on sale.
Wow. You're a guy, so you know, this may be for the ladies who are listening, cut us a little slack here, but what you said, there's great shopping. What define great shopping to you? What does great shopping mean?
Well, for us, it means all the electronic stores are, you know, 20% 30% off because of the great exchange rate, so we get to go buy new microphones and cameras and things like that. That's what I call great shopping. Now, there are other people who would come here and they would be like, oh, I'm going to get a nice dress or something like that. No, that's not us. We don't need to do that.
what's drawing people to Japan, Chris?
Oh, I mean, it's a safe destination, first and foremost. So there are other places in Asia that you can go that are maybe not as safe or predictable. We were in Bangkok and we were in Kuala Lumpur a couple of weeks before. And those are a little bit more, you know, rough and tumble. They're great places. And if you go to the right place, you can have a really wonderful experience. You know, the food is really good. It's really cheap. People are very friendly, but it's, you know, it's not the kind of clean that you get in Tokyo where everything is, you know, there's no trash on the ground and everything is just so, and the buildings are all clean. So people want that. They want to go to a place where it's predictable and safe. And Japan offers that. Plus, really great culture. You know, I mean, Japanese culture is, it's famous throughout the world. And the food, of course, as well. If you like sushi, you know, ramen, we did 2 years ago, we were in Kyoto and we did a ramen class where you make your own ramen noodles. And that was just so much fun. So, you know, things like that, people love that.
You know, I don't know if you heard the story, but here with the soccer matches and the World Cup going on, people were really stunned when Japan had played a game. And following the game, the attendees, the Japanese, picked up every bit of trash and cleaned it, cleaned it completely up, and made it spotless before they left, which clearly is a cultural thing for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we, coming from the United States, our Western country, we don't really have a clear idea of their standards of cleanliness. They are next level. We would clean something and say, well, you know, I just cleaned this. I just swept the floor. And, you know, then they would come back and go, you know, you missed a spot there, you know. And I was actually very surprised when I was just in talking to some people who are from here about what their standards are like. And also they just don't tolerate trash at all. And interestingly enough, they don't have trash cans in public. After the terrorist attack, they took all the trash cans out because the terrorists had actually hidden some explosives, I believe, in one of the cans. So everyone, they will take the trash and carry it home with them. And it's fascinating. It's such a clean place.
Chris, recently, one of the things that, shifting gears here, is one of the things that you wrote about is rights for cruise passengers. You know, cruises have really evolved a lot in the time that I've been in business. When I first started in business, cruises were basically taken by older folks, seniors, retired people. There wasn't a lot of wild parties or anything like that on a cruise. Most cruises were 7, 10, 14 days. Alaska was a popular destination, cruising around Hawaii. But the cruise industry has really evolved now, and the demographic that they seek is not necessarily. In fact, there are some older people I know who won't go on cruises now because it's like, oh, it's just one big party. And that's Viking Cruises is making some money off of selling cruises for all women or all adults, no children on board. Give us some ideas of what you think cruise passengers should be looking for in a similar respect to somebody who flies on an airplane or who takes a train cross country, something like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, cruising used to have a reputation for being for the overfed, newlywed and nearly dead. And now it's changed.
That.
You have.
Yeah, no, that's an old line, Tom.
I never heard it before.
That's an old, yes, but old, but definitely true. And now you have a lot of younger people who are interested in cruising, a lot of theme cruises. You have a lot of specialty cruises. For example, you've got the Arctic and Antarctic cruises that are, and the expedition cruises that are very, starting to get very popular. So it's hard to kind of put your thumbs on and say, this is cruising now. But if you're talking about the traditional ocean cruises, those are still going on. And they've been lately, you know, we were talking before we went on about the type of people who are now cruising. And how this week there were all these incidents where people were starting to get into fights. You know, it is still a value proposition, kind of a value vacation in some cases where you can go and get all of your meals taken care of and your accommodations for less than $100. So that's actually like, you know, you can't stay in a hotel for that much money. So during the off season, you know, you get people who are just want to get something cheap. And so, and those are people who are likely to also get the all you can drink package and just be drunk the entire time and then get into fights or go overboard, that kind of thing. So it's a little bit of a risk. Like, yeah, yeah. You know, so, and then you have the very upscale cruises where everything is included and you know, you're staying in a suite and it's all very nice. It really kind of runs the gamut. But when it comes to consumer rights, a couple of years ago, the airline, the cruise industry had a little bit of a reputation like the airline industry, where it was, you know, it was didn't want to give you refunds if it canceled a cruise, that kind of thing. And and you had very minimal rights on board as well. And so Congress was about to regulate the cruise industry, and the cruise industry said, wait, hang on a second. We'll do it ourselves. And they came out with the Cruise Line Bill of Rights. And if you read the Cruise Line Bill of Rights, it's like common sense. If we cancel a cruise, you get a refund, that kind of thing. But it's still, generally speaking, true. And it's very frustrating for me as a consumer advocate, that if you get a case, a cruise case, that there's really nowhere for you to go. There's the Federal Maritime Commission doesn't, you can't send them cases and say, hey, can you mediate this or advocate for me with a cruise line? You're really kind of on your own. So we get a fair number of cases. And that's the issue, really, is that once you go out to sea, especially on an ocean cruise, you know, you're out in international waters, you're governed by maritime law, and you really have almost no rights. All the rights go to the cruise line.
Wow. So what does somebody do if they feel like a cruise line has wronged them? I mean, other than going to you, is there any regulatory entity that helps people who feel like that they haven't gotten what they paid for?
No, unfortunately not. A lot of people will try to dispute the charges on their credit card if it's something very serious and they want to get their money back. That sometimes works, but not always. Sometimes they will try to go to small claims court. A problem there is that cruise lines, generally speaking, are governed by maritime law. So you have to go to one of the special maritime courts. So you've got to go to San Francisco or Miami, and you need to hire a special attorney. So it does get very confusing, very complicated too. And then, you know, if you try to go to the government, that there really is no one there. As I said before, the Federal Maritime Commission doesn't, you can't just send the case to the Federal Maritime Commission and say, I had a bad cruise. So the only other option really is to go to a consumer advocate or to try to advocate the case for yourself. Fortunately, we do publish the names, numbers, and email addresses of all the executives at the cruise lines on our website. That's Elliott.org. So if you go to Elliott.org, 2 L's, 2 T's, and follow the links there to the company contacts, you can find all the cruise lines there.
Imagine they're real happy with you.
No, no, they are not.
They probably send you a birthday card every year and a thank you at Christmas time for that.
So I get takedown notices all the time from travel companies, including cruise lines. They scream and yell. They say you're violated our executives' privacy. But, you know, an email address for the CEO is not violating anyone's privacy. It's not even that hard to guess the CEO or the email address of someone. But more to the point, we have the right under the First Amendment to publish that information. And so they can't take that away. They can't sue us out of existence.
Takedown. They're going to do a takedown on you. I can imagine some guy standing outside your hotel there, jump you when you come out of the building. Okay.
I'm guessing Chris, you've done this for a while. It probably takes, it's probably tough to intimidate you. I mean, I'm guessing that you kind of know where you stand and that you've been hammered by enough of these people over enough years to be able to. Would that be an accurate statement?
Almost, you know, I get phone calls from reputation management guys who say, you know, they leave messages, angry messages saying you have to take this information down. And I get emails from companies. It's usually secretaries, but sometimes from attorneys. But when I get like a package sent to my home address from a law firm that says, you know, we're going to sue you if you don't take this information down, I have to admit, my heart skips a beat. It does every time, even if I know I'm going to win. I went to journalism school and I had my existential crisis and I thought, well, what am I even doing this for? And when I discovered advocacy and I discovered that I could help people, especially help people help themselves, I thought this is something worth doing. So this is the hill I'm going to die on if I have to.
Good for you, Chris. Way to go. Hang in there. Stick to your guns, my friend.
So we need somebody on our side here because we're paying a lot more for airline tickets. where the airlines are just, I mean, literally, if there was an airline trash can, I would just put them all in it. I used to keep, I would have used to had a separate place for Southwest, but back in the olden days when they were more of a people-oriented airline, but now that they've sold their soul to the devil, why there isn't a whole lot of difference between, shall we say, the big four. Chris, I thank you again for your time. Again, to find out more about Chris's advocacy efforts, to see the podcasts that he and his sons do on an irregular basis, or just to get some information about some of the things that we've talked about in the program, Elliott.org, two L's and two T's, will find you a variety of great consumer information. Thanks again for your time, my friend.
You bet.
Always a pleasure to have Chris on, always full of great advice. And here again, don't forget now, links to Chris can be found at travelguysradio.com. Always there to help you with any consumer issues that you might have, that even if they aren't necessarily related to travel.
And we are, how lucky are we to have struck up a friendship with one of the most recognizable consumer advocates in the country. And he regularly comes on with us once a month or so and spends, he's never turned us down for an interview. And sometimes it's, you know, 12 hours. Sometimes it's late in the day or early in the morning or something like that when we get a chance to talk to him. So he is very generous with his time to us, and we are very appreciative of that fact.
Okay, we have one more segment to do here before we run out of time today, my friends, here every Saturday from 11 to 12. So stay tuned. It's the odds and ends segment. We're going to talk about the frivolous lawsuits that have been going on, new trains on the West Coast, as well as an international celebration at the Sacramento Airport. Find out about that and more when we return here with the Travel. Mark and Tom with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. And don't forget now, you can get podcasts to our program right here on KHTK's website or at TravelGuysRadio.com or over on Mix 96. They carry us too, at least the podcast, so thank you for that. All right, Mark, let's get into it here.
Yeah, let's get into it. And we should mention that we have as many listeners to the podcast every week. We have a nice audience here on KHTK, but if you ever miss the program, you're busy at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning or the like, while you can catch the podcast. It's the same program, but without the commercial breaks. So it's about, 10, 12 minutes shorter than the 60-minute broadcast time. But anyway, you can find that at travelguysradio.com. It generally is posted within 24 to 48 hours after the show. And if you sign up for it, they'll send you a note every week telling you that it's available. All right, let's see odds and ends here. Frivolous lawsuits. This guy is sitting in the back part of the plane. In Europe, it is still common on short flights to serve meals. In this case, this gentleman was on a four-hour flight, so there was a meal service. And when they got to him, they were out of one of the entrees that, you know, there was a vegetarian entree and a chicken entree, and they didn't have the chicken entree. Now, if you've ever eaten on a plane, in some cases, you can't tell the difference between the chicken entree and the vegetarian entree.
Rubber chicken.
Yeah, this gentleman didn't get what he wanted, so he sued the airline. And the judge said, well, you know, yeah, this is not really part of the contract. The contract was for them to give you a meal, and they offered you a meal, and it wasn't what you wanted, and we're really sorry, but yeah, this doesn't rise to the level of you being able to win something back from the airline. So the judge dismissed the suit, but the bottom line to all of this is that, you know what the guy does for a living, the man who filed the lawsuit? He's an internet influencer. He has filed 27 frivolous lawsuits against airlines for various things, including it took 35 minutes for him to get his bag one day. So he sued the airline for it. And so if you wonder where all this stuff comes from, this is a man who is looking, he's a problem looking for a solution.
Yeah.
As opposed to the back. So anytime that he goes someplace and it doesn't come up to par, well, then he sues the airline, and then he writes about it. And I guess that's, he gets some clicks, and that's how he makes his living. So I found that to be somewhat humorous. New trains on the West Coast. Here's some Amtrak facts for you. Most popular Amtrak route in the country. The Surfliner from Los Angeles to San Diego and back.
Wow. Okay.
So if you're ever down in that area, you got a day with nothing to do, get yourself a train ticket. No matter which city that you're in, go to the other one, have lunch, go back. It'll be cheaper than the hot air balloon or the skydiving that you were going to do. But anyway, that's the most popular route. That is the most popular route by numbers of people. The most popular route when they ask folks, you know, what do you think what the best Amtrak route is the Coast Starlight, which runs through Sacramento once a day, northbound and southbound. And it doesn't hug the coast all the way. It's in the valley a good part of the time, but when it's on the coast, especially south of Sacramento, down by San Luis Obispo and like, it's really beautiful country. So if you're not looking to take the entire, we're in the middle of the route. So if you're looking to go north or south, I would probably go south. Wow, you can make a train trip out of it. Take the Coast Starlight to Los Angeles and then take the Surfliner down to San Diego. Anyway, that's the most popular route in terms of scenery. The most popular route in terms of this year that's had the most increases is the Amtrak Cascade route because they have new train sets that runs from Eugene or Portland, depending on which route you take, to Seattle. So wouldn't that be a great way to ride? And Amtrak is incredibly inexpensive compared to plane flights. And the trains aren't always on time, but most of the time they're on time. Anyway, international celebration at the Sacramento Airport this week. 15 years since Aeromexico started flights to Guadalajara. And we became truly an international airport. So congratulations to the airlines, to Aeromexico, and to Sacramento International Airport.
Well, that wraps it up, my friends. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday at 11 a.m.
In the meantime, dance like nobody is watching. See you next week. Never.